Well, this morning we're going to continue this series on the Gospel of Mark. And as if you've been here, you know that during this season of Lent, we have been marching through the Gospel of Mark, learning about the ministry of Jesus. And so last week when we left Jesus, he was in this little village on the shore of the Sea of Galilee called Capernaum. Capernaum is where Peter, St. Peter's home was. And in fact, when we left Jesus last, you might remember that four friends of a paralyzed man have done a remodeling project on Peter's house. They cut a skylight in for him and they lowered their paralyzed friend down to Jesus because they couldn't get in for the crowds. So they lowered their friend to Jesus. And that's where we left Jesus last. And since then, from chapter 2 to chapter 4, we'll pick up today, Jesus has been going out to the areas around Capernaum teaching, healing, and casting out demons. He's been busy. And then right before we pick up our lesson this morning, Jesus has had this long sermon that he's preached right from the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And after he completes this long sermon, he tells his disciples that he wants to go to the other side of the lake. And that's where we'll pick up in chapter 4, verse 35. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, here's how I'd like for you to help me out this morning. I'd like to invite you to turn to a couple of people around you and deliver this message. The message is you're sailing with the storm stopper. Can you do that for me? You're sailing with the storm stopper. Now, to give you an understanding, a little bit of the setting of this story, I want to share with you a picture. This is a motley looking crew from Advent, and we're standing on a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And you'll notice that behind us in the background, there is a mountain. And that is because both sides of the Sea of Galilee are lined with mountain ranges. And then there's this next picture is looking the other direction. This is sunrise. The sun is coming up over the Golan Heights and you can see the mountains there in the distance. And that is the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So both sides are bracketed with these mountains. Just a few more facts about the Sea of Galilee. It is the lowest freshwater lake on the planet at 686 feet below sea level. The lowest. The only body of water lower is the Dead Sea. It's not fresh water, and it's just not very far from there. But 686 feet below sea level, it is 13 miles long from top to bottom. It is 8 miles wide at the widest point. Now, just to give you a sense of comparison, some of you are familiar with Lake Kiwi. In fact, some of you vanished there in the summertime. Compared to Lake Kiwi is 23 miles long from top to bottom and 3 miles wide. So Galilee is 13 long, 8 wide. And so it gives you a sense of how it compares to Lake Kiwi. So because the surface of the water is so low and because it is surrounded on both sides by mountains, it sort of creates this wind tunnel through the Jordan River Valley. And so when the winds pick up, it really creates turbulence. It gets chaotic and rough on the sea sometimes. Plus, with the air temperature at the surface of the water, it is very different from the air temperature at the tops of the mountains next nearby, because they rise 2,000 feet in places above the surface of the water. So there's different temperatures of air, and the air starts moving. It creates Storms can come up in a heartbeat on the Sea of Galilee. And it can go from completely placid to life-threatening in just seconds. So that's the setting for this story from the Gospel of Mark. As you heard, Jesus has been teaching on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee on the left near Capernaum. And when he finishes this sermon, he tells, Mark tells us it's starting to get dark. He says this evening is coming. And Jesus finishes up his sermon and he says to his disciples, let's go across to the other side. We don't know why Jesus wants to go across. Maybe he wants to get away from the crowds. Maybe he's tired from teaching and healing and casting out demons. But he tells his disciples, let's go across to the other side. And Mark doesn't tell us that there are any small craft advisories out or anything like that. We haven't heard any National Weather Service advisories for the lake. And so they jump on the boat and they head out into the darkness to the other side. But now remember, most of Jesus' disciples are fishermen. They know this lake like the back of their hand, so they're not worried about sailing across to the other side in the dark. And so they take off. And not very far after they push off into the water, Jesus goes to the back of the boat and very quickly he is fast asleep. He's laying on a cushion and he is sawing logs in the back of the boat. And then all of a sudden, Mark tells us this huge windstorm blows up. And it comes out of nowhere. And it must be really violent because, remember, again, these are fishermen and they are used to rough seas. They are used to being out there on the water. And even these seasoned fishermen are scared to death. The waves are crashing over the boat and they're freaking out. They're sure that the boat's going to capsize any minute. And then this is verse 38. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Jesus, what are you doing? We're about to die. The thunder's rolling, the lightning's popping, the waves are about to take this boat to the bottom of the lake, and you thought it was a good time to take a nap, Jesus? What's going on? How could you sleep at a time like this? And I have to think that the disciples are also thinking, we've seen Jesus do all sorts of stuff for other people. We've seen him heal people of terrible diseases. We've seen him cast demons out of some really scary people. And here we are, we're his disciples. We've committed to going on this journey with him, and he's going to let us die in this boat on the Sea of Galilee. And so I'm sure they're thinking, hey, Jesus, here we are. Remember us. Don't you know we're about to die? We're in the middle of this massive storm. Jesus, do you even care? And I'm going to guess that there aren't many people in this room who haven't been there. I'm just going to guess that there aren't very many people in this room who haven't been exactly where these disciples are in that moment. And I don't mean necessarily in the middle of a meteorological storm, but I'm going to guess that most of us in this room have weathered a metaphorical storm. I'm going to guess that there have been times in our lives, one minute we're cruising along and everything is smooth sailing and life is good and you have the world by the tail and everything is going your way. You get that promotion at work and you move into your dream house and your family's all good. And then all of a sudden, the winds shift. And you can feel the temperature drop. And then here come the waves. And they start crashing in on you. And there's one right after another. And they're coming so fast, sometimes it feels like you can't even catch your breath. It's like you're on a sinking ship. And all the while, you're probably wondering, Jesus, where are you? I thought you were with me. Jesus, are you asleep? Jesus, do you even care? In this 2-year stretch, a friend of mine lost her father, lost her grandmother. Her son had a very scary illness, which thankfully he overcame. But then at the end of that, her husband, one of my best friends, was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And at one point, after that journey had gone for quite some time, I remember her saying, I have no strength left. I've got no reserves in my tank. And I'm not even praying that God get me through the day anymore, because I'm just praying that God sustain me for the next moment, because a day seems too far away. And it just feels like I'm about to drown. Like I said, I'm sure that a lot of people in this room have felt that way before. The waves start crashing. And sometimes when they stop, it feels like they won't stop. Once they start, it feels like they won't stop. I'm sure that we've all felt like the disciples at some point or another in our lives. The winds start to howl and the waves are crashing incessantly. And we cry out to Jesus, Jesus, wake up. I'm drowning here. Jesus, do you even care? I wish Jesus had answered that question. I wish he'd said, of course I care. I'm on the boat with you. You're not in this storm by yourself. I'm right here with you. And this storm isn't just happening to you. It's happening to me because we're together in this boat. I wish Jesus had said something like that, but he doesn't take the time to do that. Instead, verse 39 says, he woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And then the wind ceased. And there was a dead calm. There was a dead calm. Doesn't that sound nice? After you've been through a storm, wouldn't it be nice just to soak in that stillness, that quiet? Wouldn't it be great just to experience peace? The storm came up fast. But when Jesus woke up, the storm was over even faster, and it was dead quiet. All it took was the command of Jesus, and he said, peace, be still, and the winds and the waves stopped. And there was quiet. And there was peace. Now, if I'm honest, I got to tell you that what Jesus did out there on the Sea of Galilee, it is both a source of comfort and of consternation for me. And maybe I'm not the only one. It's comforting because it proves that Jesus really is who we think he is. Jesus really is the Son of God, because the other things that Jesus has done so far in the Gospel of Mark, they're remarkable, but stopping a storm is next level. I mean, that takes another level of power. It takes another level of authority. I mean, when you start exercising control over winds and seas, that's not just a demonstration of power. That's a demonstration of identity. Other people in Jesus' day have healed people. Other people in Jesus' day are considered miracle workers and they exorcise demons. Other people have done the things that Jesus has already done in the Gospel of Mark. But when it comes to this story, and when it comes to stopping this storm on the Sea of Galilee, nobody has done anything like that. And that's why when the disciples ask at the end of this passage, who then is this that even the wind and the seas obey him? There is really only one answer to that. And the answer is, this is none other than the Son of Almighty God. This is the Son of the one who created everything there is. This is the Son of our Creator. This is the Son of God. And storm stopping proves that's who Jesus is. It's not just a demonstration of power. It's a demonstration of his identity. And so that gives me comfort. And at the same time, it gives me a little consternation. Consternation because I wish Jesus always stopped our storms when we call out to Him. I wish Jesus would always wake up in the boat and just as at the very right moment when we need Him the most, I wish Jesus would always say, "Peace, be still," and all of the winds and the waves in our lives would come to a dead halt and we would experience the peace and the stillness and the quiet that the disciples experienced on the Sea of Galilee. I wish Jesus would always calm our storms. But He doesn't. That's just not reality. Sometimes storms are stopped, and that's amazing. And sometimes they're not. And why Jesus sometimes stops the storms of our lives and other times does not is a mystery that finite human minds will never solve. So that's why I say it brings me comfort and it brings me consternation. Have you noticed the progress on the building? It's amazing, right? Are you excited about that? Did you know that many sanctuaries are designed in the inside so that they look like an upside-down boat? Did you know that? If you look at the roof, and it's going to be true in our new sanctuary, the vaulted ceiling, the vaulted wooden ceiling is going to be beautiful, and it looks like the hull of a boat turned upside down. In fact, the place where you sit in sanctuaries is called the nave. It's from the Latin word navis. You know what that word means? Ship. It's where we get our word navy. So buildings, church buildings, when they were started to be constructed, were constructed to look like a ship. And in the earliest Christian art, the church, the symbol of the church in paintings, was always a boat. Many times it was a boat on a raging sea. And do you know who is always pictured in that boat with His disciples? Jesus. Jesus is always on the boat. Jesus is always right there with His disciples on that boat. In the ship is the storm stopper. Here's what I think. I think sometimes Jesus wakes up in the middle of a storm and He says to the wind and to the waves, "Peace, be still." And it's obvious that the winds and the waves have to listen and obey. And there's a dead calm. And sometimes in the middle of a storm, Jesus doesn't speak to the winds and waves. And in those times, I think instead He speaks to us. And He says to us, "Peace. Be still. Peace. Remember, I'm right here with you on the boat. Be still. Be calm. Peace. I am with you and I will never leave you, even in the raging sea. Peace. Be still, because my beloved child, I am on this boat with you." And then, in those moments, if we allow it, the storm raging inside of us, the fear, the doubt, the pain, at the command of Jesus, will be quiet. And there will be peace. Because we're sailing with the storm stopper. One of our life groups is reading this book right now. One of the members of that life group was telling me about it. It's a book called Shalom Sisters. Some of you are in this life group. And it's written by a woman named Oshita Moore. And she is from New Orleans. And during Katrina, her family's house was destroyed when she was 8 months pregnant with their second child. So if you can imagine, you're about to give birth to your second child and your home is wrecked and your whole life is just turned upside down by this storm. And it did, it was a horrible storm for them, and it lasted for a really long time. And then one Lent, she decided that she was going to spend the entire season of Lent studying and researching and praying, trying to learn about peace, about the Hebrew concept of shalom, which we translate into English as peace. And in this book, here's what she says. Sometimes it takes a storm for us to truly find peace on the inside. Sometimes it takes a storm to truly find peace. Sometimes we have to weather the storm so that we'll realize that we are sailing with the storm stopper. I don't know what kind of storms you might be weathering. I don't know what the winds and the waves are that might be crashing on your boat. But I do hope this morning you can hear these words. Peace. Be still. You are sailing with the storm stopper. And all God's people said. Let us pray. Lord of the wind and waves, when the storms rage, when the seas foam and threaten to sink us, we pray that you will remind us that we are sailing with the storm stopper. Overwhelm us with your presence, O Lord, and whether you command the wind and the waves or whether you command us, we pray that we may experience your peace that passes all understanding, and that our souls might find that place of quiet and dead calm. In your name we pray.